I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, legends, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru podcast. I'm going to go through and answer all of the Supercoach questions sent in by members of the Roo Crew. They obviously get priority when asking questions. We've got about 45 here or so for Supercoach, so I'll go through and answer them as quick as I can. Kathmandu is currently editing up some stuff, so she's sitting silently over there doing some work. So I'll just go through these questions. And look, we'll probably go a little bit more in depth on these tomorrow on Beers and Break-Even. It's actually a good opportunity for me to get a vibe of what people are looking for heading into Beers and Break-Evens tomorrow. If you are listening to this on the Rugby League Guru podcast, you'll be listening on Wednesday. Roo Crew members would have had this by about midday Tuesday. So if you would like to get the exclusive look at content and whatnot there, you obviously go join the Roo Crew. $8 a month, $2 a week. Let's get stuck in. I'll start from the bottom. Now, some of these questions would have actually started to come in before the Mitch Moses injury, before the Bryce Cartwright injury. So there probably has been a couple of changes. Supercoach is wild, but let's get stuck into it. The first one's from Brandon. Golden question. Who should we replace Cleary with if people don't want to hold him? My answer probably would have been Mitchie Moses. That's obviously out the fucking window now. I have no idea. Honestly, and this is probably going to answer a lot of your questions, I'm going to hold Nathan Cleary. It says up to 4 weeks. He's got a bye in 2 weeks anyway. I'm just going to hold Nathan and have him for when he comes back. Obviously, by then, we'll be getting in the ballpark, getting close to Origin. So you're probably only going to see Nathan on about 9 occasions over the next 16 weeks. And there are other options you can go to. None of them really stand out to me, though. None of them I'd be really overly happy to go to scoring-wise. And I just think the reality is that, yes, you can go to someone else that's going to score points each week, but honestly, one or two good captain scores from Nathan the next 15 weeks, which I'm backing he'll get, I think it's worth saving the trade. So I'm thinking at the moment I'm going to hold Nathan Cleary. I'm keen to get inside the ear of the great Timmy Williams tomorrow to get an idea of how he's looking at it. But that's what I'm looking at the moment. So that's where I'm sitting. That'll probably answer a lot of questions today. Mitch Moses, I can understand if you wanted to go to him, but now that he's injured, you obviously can't do that. So the options are just looking pretty bleak. So that's the direction I'm looking in when it comes to that situation. Winston, I have both Moses and Cleary. Who would you trade and for who? I was thinking Moses to Hines as I have heaps of cash available. Sure, go to Hines if you want. Just remember, though, like he has a buy-in to next week. You're going to be without him there. It's not ideal. He's going to, I think he's going to keep leaking cash. I know a lot of people think he's going to bounce back and whatnot, which maybe he will. I think he's going to keep leaking cash. I'm going to buy Hines in a couple of weeks when he is a little bit cheaper. But honestly, he might be the best option. When you have a look at the halfback options, there's just not much doing. I hate all the options. Nothing's jumping out at me. If Galvin was dual position, I'd say, yep, get on that, grab the cash. He's only available at 5'8". So honestly, the options are just disgusting and I don't know what to make of it. I really dislike all of them, which I know doesn't probably help you guys all that much, but I just think a lot of people are going to make trades this week to bring in guys they don't really want. If you've got Cleary and Moses, I get it. You have to make a move and maybe then Hines is the best option. But I just don't love any of them at the moment. I think a lot of people are going to waste a lot of trades getting guys that they don't want here. I think if you're lucky enough to still have Nicho Hynes, or if you're lucky enough to have maybe like a Drew Hutchinson like me, just run with them. They might not score that many points. I get it. It's not ideal. But honestly, I just don't think it's worth all the trades and going crazy for guys you're going to get that are probably going to underperform. Luke Brooks on the weekend, team scored a lot of points. He had a great try assist, line break assist. It was really good. I mean, he scored 53. Benny Hunt, 77 on the weekend. Chad Townsend's going good. I'm just not convinced there's anyone out there that is the guy that you really, really desperately want. So I think you'll be trading to a guy that you don't want, that you're probably not going to be happy with. I'm just not loving the options there. But if you have to make a move, you have to make a move. Luke Brooks, probably the pick of the bunch for me, but yeah, I'm not stoked with it. Stephen Gorman, is Tago a buy without Cleary? What do you think? Yeah, I still think Isaac Tonga will get plenty of ball. I think they'll just play both sides of the ruck. You'll probably get a Brad Schneider game come in, maybe a Cole. He actually hasn't played reserve grade or Jersey Flegger anything the last few weeks. He must be injured. I would imagine Brad Schneider comes in, maybe a Dane Laurie. I'd still be okay going Isaac Tonga, I guess, but I still think you're chasing last week's points a little bit. So if you are super keen on him, I still think he'll do well, but I won't be chasing Isaac Tonga, and you guys know how much I love him. Adam OC, hey legend, keep or trade Leina Piakura? Mate, I would be keeping Piakura. There's every chance he's going to be out this week, though. There's rumors circulating. You guys will know by the time you see Team List Tuesday whether he's in or out. I'm leaning towards trading Lane. If Piakura is out this week and Lane's the only option, maybe you hold him. But I'm going to go Lane to Kaipe's pool this week, I'm thinking. But out of those two, I think Piakura is the one to hold. Lane has been pretty underwhelming. Winston again, he double dipped the chip kid. Still have Wong on my bench. Is it worth trading him to Curran after the price increase? Was thinking I could do that, even move Curran to front row forward in a few weeks. Yeah, definitely, mate. I would go to Josh Curran. If you know, I brought Curran last week and I'm happy with it. But honestly, I would be seriously looking at Kai Pierce-Paul. He's a little bit cheaper, and I think he could score more points, and he's probably got more attacking upside as well. So I'd probably lean towards Kai Pierce-Paul. From Blake, who's now lucky number 7 with Moses and Cleary gone? Do we start to look at Brooks Vale? I think Brooks is probably the best option, guys. If you are stuck with that double conundrum of Cleary-Moses, Brooks probably the best option. You are going to get Nicho Hynes a little bit cheaper, you know, a heap cheaper than what you could have a few weeks ago. So a little advantage there, but he's got a bye next week. So like you might only get two games out of Hynes before Nathan Cleary returns realistically, which is just, if you didn't have that buy, I would say just go to Hynes, despite me thinking he is going to underachieve. He still might be the best option out of these guys. But yeah, Brooksy probably the best pick there, bro. I have Kleins and Hynes and Cleary. Should I hold? I think if you have Hynes and Cleary, I think you should definitely hold Cleary. I just don't think anyone else is the right option, is worth making two trades to get Nathan Cleary back eventually. So I'd be holding. I don't have Hynes, as you guys know. I've got Drew Hutchinson. I'm just going to back in Hutcho for the next 3 weeks and see how many points you can get. If you can get 30, 40s, if you can get me a 60 occasionally like you did on the weekend, good as gold. I just think it's worth holding Nath. I'm going to keep the trades in my pocket and use them later to make big plays. That's the way that I'm doing it. I'm keen to hear what Timmy Williams thinks. I think Timmy will lean towards trading Cleary, but I'm keen to hear his thoughts. I'm in the hold market. Up to 4 weeks, he's got a buy in that period, and Penrith are notorious for bringing guys back early. The buy doesn't help that argument. I get it, but I think in 4 weeks, Cleary will be back. One of those games is a buy anyway, so I'm happy just to sit on my hands with Nath. From Will, buy Val, Tonga, or Hammer for CT, or Hammer for CTW spot. Probably Hammer at the moment, mate. I think Val, if you can afford him, I think he's a get on, but I'm obviously a little bit biased. I've got Val and hold him in very high regard. Isaac Tonga, he'd probably be my third out of those guys. Hammer and Val are the two options there for me. Hammer a little bit cheaper. He's got money incoming. He's got a good matchup this weekend against the Titans. I don't mind that play. Alex, rank 1 to 4 as buys this week. Garrick, Young, Hammer, Val. Good God. For me, off the top of the dome, mate, Val is my favorite. Hammer, then probably Young and Garrick. But, mate, Dom Young isn't really my cup of tea when it comes to Supercoach. But, I mean, huge score on the weekend. I can understand people making the move to him, but I'm not as high on him. Elijah O'Brien, would Grant to Coruscant be an awful move? How about a comparison between Hammer and Young? Grant to Coruscant, I don't hate it, but Once again, is Appy going to score 80s and 100s every single week? I don't think so. Are you chasing last week's points? Maybe. Harry Grant's still the same dude he was. If he didn't have the bye this weekend, would you be making that move? I probably doubt it. I think that once the Melbourne Storm get all their troops back, Harry Grant will score well. Once again, Harry's the same dude. There's a bit of money to be made on Appy now, which I get, and Harry's going to lose a bit of money. But I do think it is a little bit sideways. You have the best hooker in rugby league. Just because he hasn't scored the most points in the first 3 weeks doesn't mean he isn't the best hooker in rugby league. They will come. Those big scores will come. And they will probably come more frequently than other hookers. So if I had Harry Grant, if you'd backed him in all offseason when a lot of people told you not to, I would probably continue holding for now. Matty Diamond. Hey, mate, my hookers are Lussick / Levi. My God, you got both of them. That's interesting. And I really wanted to go Levi to Appy. I was also going to go Hines to Galvin. However, the clearing news has fucked that up. I also need to ditch Lolo desperately. My question is, where do you think I should prioritize trades? There is four trades I want to do, but should I focus on fixing the Lolo problem or focus on bringing in players that will make cash? Players cash. Cheers, legend. Mate, I would be sticking with your hookers. You've got two hookers there that are about to make money. It'd be great for you to have Appy, but I just don't know if it's worth spending the trades there. I'd be prioritizing other situations. I'd be getting Taumalolo out. You guys are going to lose money on that. I'd be moving him somewhere else, especially when there's opportunity in the 2RF. You know, getting a guy in there like... wait, is Taumalolo 2RF? I don't own him. Sorry, guys. Let me double check that. Getting guys like Kai Pierce-Paul and whatnot, I think, is the play there. Just let me check Taumalolo. I thought he was 2RF. Yeah, he's dual position, front row forward. Yeah, I think getting guys in your 2RF that are very handy, like your Kai Pierce-Paul, might be the play. You can also move to like a Liam Henry, one of these guys, to make money there. I'd be getting rid of Taumalolo, though. I think it's a sinking ship that's going to be a huge pain in your ass. The other trade, Galvin. I think you've got to get Galvin this week. I think he's an absolute must. It might not be Hines. Move one of your 5'8s on. I don't really care who it is, but I think Galvin is an absolute must get. I assume you have Ethan Strange at 5'8. Maybe trade a CTW that's not doing well, a Hutcho, a Salmon, a Burbo. Move Strange down and then buy him at 5'8. I think Galvin, you need to get him. I'd be sorting out this Taumalolo situation. And I personally think the hooker thing, it's a bit of a luxury trade that you probably don't need to. I don't think Appy's going to be the end goal. I think Harry Grant will be the end goal. So I would let your two cheapy hookers make a bit of money there before moving them on. That's just how I would go about it. Jake Carter, 77. Wong to Curran or KPP? Mate, I'm probably leaning towards KPP at the moment. I've got Curran and I'm very happy with him, but I think moving to KPP is probably the better option if you can pick either or this week. Flanagan to Galvin, or just wait until Flanagan disappoints and then make the move? Oh, geez, that's tough because Flano's obviously due to make a bit of money now, isn't he? Another guy I haven't looked at because I don't own. He's 360K, Kyle Flanagan. He's just made you a bit of bicky. He made 50K. He's probably got more to make. I would assume his break-even is pretty low. That's an interesting one. That's a tough one. But Galvin's got a heap of cash to make, obviously. I don't know, man. I'm not quite sure. That's probably one that I'll talk to Timmy Williams about. Very interesting. I would probably stick with Flano right now and just make that cash, and then you can make the move to Galvin later. In saying that, Flano's 360K. Galvin's obviously basement price. I think Galvin at the moment, I'd probably lean towards maybe simply because I think he's a guy that you can play each week and he's going to do reasonably well. But that's a really tough one, mate. That's probably a back your gut feel in. I'm not convinced that Flano continues to make money at this rate. I'm convinced that Galvin will. So, yeah, maybe the move to Galvin is the best one to make, mate. You made 50K off Flano, so be it. That's good as gold. I would probably move to Galvin and make that big bicky there. But that's a tough one. Is Joey Manu a good buy? That's from Finn Rosenberg. Not a bad buy, mate, but not on my radar. I think there's other CTWs to target and whatnot. I'll be looking in a different direction. Fisher, with Mitchie out, do we think it could be a good time to get Gutho in? Potentially, Gutho will goal kick. He'll probably take a little bit more control. I just question Parramatta and how many points they're going to score with Moses out. So not for me. I think there's too many other star fullbacks that I'll be keeping a close eye on. Would this be the hardest start to Supercoach ever? Dom Younger, buy, as always. Thanks for all the content, legend. Cheers, Wayne91. Always appreciate you, bro. Yeah, I think it's going to be one of the hardest starts we've ever seen. Cheapy's sucked early. It's got a little bit easier, but now with all these injuries, it's just fucked. And Nico Hines underachieving, KP underachieving, Turbo arguably underachieving. You're trying to balance Ryan Papenhuyzen, who has a bye early. The Panthers have a bye early. It's been a brutal, brutal start to this season. There's no doubt about it. So, yeah, I'd argue it is one of the hardest. Dom Young, I'm not buying him, guys, but I can understand if you make the move to Dom Young. I can get it, but not quite for me. Are we holding on to Cleary, hoping he returns in 2 to 3 weeks? Kalen Gibb, mate, I'm going to hold him. That's the play that I'm going to make. It's probably a little bit easier for me because I jumped up 70,000 spots on the weekend and got a lot of points, so I'm happy to sort of sit on my hands a little bit there. Maybe if you're more desperate to make up ranks, I just think it's too early to be thinking like that personally. I'm happy to sit on my hands with Nath. Wham bam, Ezra, man, is this the year of the super pod? Popular players seem to either be dropping like flies or not scoring like previous years. And yeah, you know what? The year of the super pod, sure. It's only the year of the super pod if you get it bang on correct. If you don't, you're up shit creek without a paddle. I think we will return to normal frequencies very soon, where the gun players will be scoring gun, your Turbos, your KPs, your Dill Browns, your Clearys once he's back, your Nico Hines, I think, will improve. There's no doubt about that. So the super pod is all good and well, but if you don't hit it, you're completely fucked, which is what I don't like. I think, you know, obviously I went Val, who was a bit of a pod last week, and that shot me up the rankings and has done very well for me, which was all good and well. But it is a bit of a risk to take, to be honest with you. Just don't outthink the room. Matthew Gibson, being early in the season, would you still chase value or go to guns if you can afford? I have Lukey and some spare cash and tossing up if I get Curran, Fenya, or go to a gun like Olakwato or Hopgood. I would go with the cheapies, mate. I think that Finu is a guy that I've slept on a little bit. Negative 32 break even. Benji seems to really like him at the moment, playing good minutes. He's a guy that we've got to seriously consider. I might have overlooked him a little bit. Keen to get Timmy's thoughts on him. I think there'll be good money to make there on him. I'd be still looking to generate cash at this point, especially with those guys that are scoring 45, 50s. They might not have the 80s and 90s in them, but take Olakwato, for example. The right edge absolutely lit it up for Manly on the weekend. He still scored 50. Same as what Finu did, who's going to make you probably 300 or 400K. So I'd be trying to generate cash at the moment, mate. Tyson Jones, I'm going to trade out Cleary. Should I target a premium CTW over a halfback, i.e. Hammer, Holmes, Garrick, Lomax? Yeah, if you've got Hutcho, move him to halfback and just ignore that spot for now and go and get a gun CTW that's got huge upside, because none of the other halfbacks do, in my opinion. That's the way I would approach it. That was my thinking with Nico Hines. I don't think he has the high upside at the moment. I thought Val Holmes did, and it played out exactly that way. Jace, he's written me a novel. I'm looking at picking up a gun CTW. Who do you think out of Garrick, Holmes, Tago, or Young? I lean Holmes, but it only leaves me with about 30K in the bank. My other CTWs are Hammer, RTS, May, and Katoa, but I'm planning to use Hammer to trade up to Pappy next week. Alternatively, is this the right time to bring in Dill Brown, given Moses out for 8 to 10? Thinking about trading in trading Dearden out for him. I wouldn't be trading Tommy Dearden, bro. I think he's doing really well, but it would mean I miss out on one of the gun CTWs I'm looking at. Just keep in mind, like, the gun CTWs, they're all good and well to have, but just you have got a lot of cash to make in the CTWs over the next couple of months with, you know, your Strangers, your Savages, these sort of guys, your Jack Bostocks, these sort of fellas, Tommy Talao's maybe. So you will generate a lot of cash in the CTWs you can use over the next few weeks. As far as those four CTWs guys goes, I really like Val Holmes. I think he'll end up the best CTW out of those guys this year with the goal kicking. The upside is just too big. Tago, I think you're chasing last week's points. Dom Young and Garrick, I don't mind, but I do prefer Val Holmes, but he is pretty expensive, obviously. Tall picky to a gun like Holmes, Tago, or another cheapie to make a bit more cash before moving to a superstar. I'd probably go a cheapie if you can find one that's going to make that money to allow you to bring in more superstars later. It's all about how you finish, not how you start. But in saying that, I went Val Holmes yesterday because I thought he was a little bit undervalued and I thought he had a big scoring coming, and that's made all the difference for me. So if you think Holmes has got another big score coming this week or the week after, same as Isaac Tungo, by all means, jump on. You've got to back your gut when it comes into CTWs. That's what I did last week and paid dividends, but it doesn't always, obviously. Josh Dub Wallace, is it too risky running Brooks and Hutch halves? Galvin Flano, 5'8". I got rid of Hines and I have 600,000, but I just don't know what to do with it. I could go AFB, Garrick, IPAP, or bring in Moses. I have too many options. What are your thoughts? Well, Moses injured now, as you now know. I'm okay with running Brooks and Hutcho for a few weeks. I don't have a huge issue with it. You'll buy back one of the guns when they return. I'm okay with it. I think people panic a little bit too much about that sort of stuff. If you've got good captain's options elsewhere, like Turbo, like KP, like a Val, for example, maybe a good forward, sure. It is just tough because a lot of them are going to be in the fullback space. I'm okay to do it because I've got Val Holmes. I'm happy to back him in. But I think you're okay to get away with it for a couple of weeks and just pick the halfback that has the better matchup that week. Hey, Guru/Cat, am I crazy for wanting to hold Cleary? I don't see anyone else getting close to him and I'd rather look at moving on Hines. I'm with you, bro. I'm going to be holding on to Cleary. I think that's sweet. Hobbsy, keeping it simple, would you go KPP or Henry this week? Henry's probably going to make a little bit more cash early, but I think KPP, if he's playing 80 minutes on that left edge, he's keeper potential, Kai Pierce-Paul. Once he starts to get some attacking upside, I think he brains it. I would probably go for Kai Pierce-Paul because front row forward is fucked. Fisher-Harris might return early and then Henry becomes a little bit less relevant. I think Kai Pierce-Paul, man. Jared Norris, hey guys, no ATAR length question this time. Actually got one for Kat. How hard was it to make the change from fantasy to supercoach and what does each game do better? Don't know the difference, but seems like most people are only keen on one or the other. I might try and get Kat's attention here for a second, if I can get her attention. Kat, take him out for a second. We just had a question that's directed straight to you. Can you put yourself on or not?
Yeah, mic's on.
The question is from Jared Norris. Got one for Kat. How hard was it to make the change from fantasy to supercoach and what does each game do better? So what are like pros and cons that you found?
That's a really good question because I think I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah.
I think I'm still, by the way, guys, the camera's not set up or anything. So
nah,
I'm just rolling
with it. Deal with it. You'll be right.
I'm still actually figuring that out. I'm still working out what the difference is. I think the hardest part is that I'm so used to fantasy and the players that were a no-brainer for me there. A few of those just don't quite fit the super coach mold.
Yeah.
Or I've just had to rethink my approach to players but even down to probably the most challenging thing, which is the fact that you can change your captain to the last minute. With fantasy, it locks out as soon as the first game's played.
Oh, really?
It's not something that you could – you obviously a captain choice strategically, but it's not something that can change.
Yeah.
So that for me has become – a new challenge to navigate, but also looping is definitely a thing in fantasy and fantasy. But looping with a VC or with a captain has been something, and I had to actually double check with you over the weekend
because it does
confuse me a little bit because I think that's probably the biggest difference, and people really use their captains to dramatically change their scores, which is something that you can't do in fantasy.
I think as well, and I've never played fantasy, but when I look at it, Kat, one thing I notice is that halves tend to get a lot of points for kick meters and there's none of that in Supercoach. And from eyeballing the scores, that seems to make a big difference too.
Yeah, definitely. Like there's the joke, not that Nathan Cleary set and forget wouldn't, you know, work in Supercoach, but I think that's more of a fantasy mindset where you could quite literally leave Nathan Cleary as your captain for the entire season and more likely than not, it wouldn't be a bad decision at all. So you can kind of do the set and forget thing, whereas – with the VC and the C in Supercoach, you can definitely play that to your advantage a little bit more and throw a spanner in the works here and there. That's definitely been a big difference. It's a great question though, because I might feel like my answer might be different in like 10 weeks' time. But for right now, I think navigating the captaincy stuff has been really interesting.
All right, I love that. Now, we are going to take a little spell. We'll be back in a minute. Our lunch is about to arrive, so we're going to get stuck into that. I think we just leave it rolling and we'll just edit this out, right?
Yeah.
Which comes – okay, sweet. Okay. We'll see you soon. Bye. All right. We are back from lunch. Just did some hideous things to an Eljana meal just quietly. Not a sponsor, but I would highly advise if you're in the Sydney region, you're looking for a little chicken feast, very affordable and sensational. Shout out to Eljana. Now, where was I? That is the big question. From Bucko. Guru, if Brad Arthur names Brown at 7 tomorrow, does he become dual with Moses out long term? Bucko, this is a fucking sensational suggestion. I hope so. Not that it'll really make a huge difference. I guess if during Origin and stuff, it might actually. Yeah, actually, that would be really handy if he got it. I hope so. Yeah, he might actually, because you'll play round 4, round 5. You know what? You might be on the money here. If Dillbrand is named at seven, which I hope he is, I probably doubt he will. Oh, he might be. I don't know. But yeah, mate, very good shout. That's a very interesting watch. I like that. Nick Owens. With the wasteland that is 5'8 position, not producing a high average this season and lacking quality options, would you advocate starting Galvin for a few weeks and moving someone like Brooks to the halves to solve the Cleary issue for a few weeks? I have Hines, but he has a bye that needs covering. Galvin has looked good. The money freed up. Yes, mate, I would. Yeah, I agree. 5'8's a bit of a shit fight. At least you know with Galvin, he's not going to give you a 7 or a 14. I think minimum he's going to give you 30s. Teams are going to try and target him, so he'll make a heap of tackles. He runs the football a lot. He gets a lot of touches. So, yeah, I really like it, mate. 5'8's a shit fight. I think you could do worse than just putting a goer in there. And it'll solve your halfback problem when you've got Nicho Hynes on bye or whilst Nath Cleary's out. So I like it. Joe Hayden. Hey, Roos, I'm holding Cleary and now have to move in Moses. Is it better to do a genuine half like Brooks or Hunt, or is moving Hutch up and playing him until Cleary is back and bulking my CTW a better option? I'm going for the CTW option, brother. That's the avenue I'm going to go down. But I guess it depends what you're after. But that is the option that I'm going to take. I'll be moving Galvin in and moving Ethan Strange down to CTW, which will free up cash to buy more guys there. Okay, Oliver. Hey, Roo, have some cash in the bank and was planning to upgrading Jacob Gagai to a CTW gun. Not sure on Tego Val or Dom Young. Thoughts or any others I'm missing? Or do I upgrade Farmacilli, the Dogs, fourth and forward to a Cotter instead? Kind of waiting on Curran Jill. Don't go to Cotter, bro. He's got an injury this week. He's 50-50 to play, and honestly, his scores have been a little bit hit and miss anyway. Got the 70 that was great. Backed it up with a 48 last week. He's not in the Payne Haas category when you know you're going to get 60-plus every week, Cotter. So, mate, I would look to upgrade. Just on Jacob Gagai, I mean, it's not ideal, don't get me wrong, but he's at absolute basement price, so it's pretty much just like having a built-in Nuff. If he's your biggest issue, sure, but, I mean, to go from Gagai to Val Holmes, you're going to have to spend about 600K there, which is a big bit of bicky, very tough. If you've got the money to do it, sure, but don't be afraid to have enough like Gagai there. I don't think it's a huge issue. Is Young an option this week? Up against two very short wingers, Walker could cross kick field, Dom Young all night and have an absolute feast. Mate, he potentially could, but I'll give you the hot tip. The amount of plans I hear that involve kicking to tall wingers that lead to absolutely fucking nothing is unbelievable. I wouldn't be relying on that, and honestly, you don't want them doing that. Yes, you'll score 17, but he doesn't get a line break, doesn't get a tackle break, doesn't get any of that stuff. You want them to be ball playing to him realistically in an ideal world. Kicking to guys, I mean, honestly, how often do guys score multiple tries because they're being kicked to nowadays? Not very often. It's not like it used to be where every last tackle they just kick to the winger and see what happens. You're just not seeing as many tries coming off that nowadays, in my opinion. Dom Young, he could buck this trend 100% if you think he will. Back him in, but I wouldn't be putting too much emphasis on that thought process. From Don's, Sia Wong to Galvin, Arthurs to Luke Brooks, Mulatalo to Holmes. Having dual position has really saved me this year, just quietly. I've decided these are my trades this week. Boosted last week and holding on to Cleary. However, I can trade out Brooks, move Hutcho back into the 7 and bring in Hammer. So I'm between Brooks as my 7 or Hammer in my CTW. I'd go for Hammer, bro. I think he's got more upside. Brooks is looking good, but I mean, he had a try assist, line break assist the other day, and he got 50. Seabold's teams are very, very well known for starting very fast. I sort of like the Hammer play, to be honest with you. Holmes, Roger, and Mayer, my gun CTWs, Bostock, Strange, Topicki, Cash Cows, and Hutcho. Yeah, mate, that's the move I'll be making. Wong to Galvin, I love via Jules. Arthurs to Luke Brooks. I like the Mulatalo to Holmes. I like that move. But yeah, Arthurs to Luke Brooks, I don't know. I think I would rather have Hammer there, bro. Jaden Formosa. With Moses out extended period of time and with popular fullbacks not firing as much, what do you think we'd do? What is Gutho's appeal would be like? Not the worst draw, goal kicking, hands on the ball, probably 2% ownership also. I took Gutho as a bit of a pod play last year, did really well for me. I'm not loving it this year, but mate, you make a very good argument there. With that sort of ownership, Gutho's going to take control. You know, every time he gets into dummy half, he's going to run the football close to the line. I don't hate it. I'm actually not sure why I trusted Gutho last year. I can't remember why, but I'm not a big Gutho in Supercoach sort of guy. Forsey, so lost Cleary and Moses this week. Thinking getting Brooks at halfback to fill the hole. Anyone you're higher on? No one else I'm higher on, mate. If you have to do it, I think Brooksy is the best option. Thoughts on Hines from Bailey Large. Thoughts on Hines out moving Brooks to half already at Galvin. So we're thinking Plath for more cash. Have Galvin. Yeah, Plath for more cash. Just with Plath, got to remember, guys, really impressive the other day. I think he's a great young player. I think lock forward is his best position. Wait for Teamless Tuesday. Obviously, you guys will probably have it by now, but there's every chance that he's back to the bench or something. I assume Ray Stone will come back into this side, so that'll make it tough as well. So just settle on Plath for now, I think. I want to see a little bit more. JT to Henry, I like with the hope Curran gets dual. I think he will, mate. I think we can rely on that. D. Cadden, considering trading Labart, Smith, Gagai for Galvin. Appy or KPP and KPP. Mainly want to know if you'd captain Mitchell against the Dogs or Tommy against the Dragons. I'm not sure on the power of Wynn Stadium. I will probably go Tommy Turbo this week, bro. Obviously, Mitch Moses has since been ruled out. Tommy Turbo, the play for me. Early thoughts on the reserves this week. Need to choose two, leaning towards Furmore and Galvin. Mate, I haven't had a look at all the matchups and everything. I will do that on Beers and Breakevens this week, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Me and Timmy will start to talk about more sit fee starts as we start to get further into the season. I have Cleary and Hines. Prior to Cleary's injury, I was planning on trading Nico to Val via Hutcho. Do I keep this trade and bench Cleary for 4 weeks or keep Nico and trade Cleary to Val? Cheers. Depends what you want, mate. Depends what you value. Just keep in mind, yes, Cleary's going to be out for a few weeks. Val's going to be playing. Nico's going to be playing, but he does have that buy in that period. I think he will still lose money. So it just depends what you value there, bro. Honestly, that's up to you depending on your team. Damo 358, better trade. Levi to Appy, already have Robson as hooker one. Jeez, that's juicy. And Wong to Hammer. Yeah, I don't mind it, mate. If you can lock in Appy and he's going to, you know, make cash over the next few weeks, I don't mind that move. But I do think there is still money to be made with Levi. Yeah, but I mean, you could go to Appy, let him make a heap of cash, then you could downgrade to Harry Grant in a couple of weeks. He'll be even cheaper, and you could pocket, you know, 200 or 300K there off Appy. So don't mind it. Wong to Hammer, I like it. Fraser Jamison, you can only pick one front row forward out of Liam Henry or Xavier Willison. Who would you be going to go with? I'm leaning towards Liam. I think Liam Henry is the answer right now. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Xavier Willison next week is the answer. I've got Willison. As you guys know, I bedshit in Vegas and ended up with him. I'm happy to wait for him. I think he'll do pretty well for them while Payne Haas is out. So I love Liam Henry, as you guys all know, but I'm not going to move to him at the moment. I don't want to use a boost on moving a shit Dragons benchy forward to Liam Henry. If I get a good VC score this week and it could affect my VC loophole, then I will consider it. But at the moment, I won't be. Out of Liam Henry and Willison, I think you're better off going Liam Henry this week, but I wouldn't be surprised if Willison turns out to be the better option next week. But right now, Liam Henry is the play. Are you going to hold Cleary and play Hutch in halfback? I trade Cleary or upgrade Hutch. I'd be upgrading Hutch. I'd be keeping him, mate. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bench Cleary, play Hutcho. Matt Arndt 89, have Nico and Cleary like many teams. Would you sell Nico now with the 100-tree break even or wait until next week's? I'm very torn, Guru.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you have Cleary, I'd probably hold him, bro. You might lose a little bit of cash on him. I think your hands are kind of tied now with Nico Hines. I think you just have to keep him. And I think he's probably the best halfback that's playing this weekend, realistically. Despite me thinking he's underachieving a little bit, I think he still has the caliber to be the best halfback this week. Nico Hines had an absolute shocker on the weekend. He was bang average, scored 50 in Supercoach. Luke Brooks had a really good game. Also scored 50. Nico, he is still the guy to have if you have him, I think, now that all these injuries have fallen. Last question from Michael Gordon of former Gold Coast Tigers and Sydney Roosters fame. Anything wrong with holding cash at this stage? I just can't find anywhere to spend it logically. Hines to Val last week, sale, and now Wong down to Galvin. Mate, I've got 600K sitting in my bank at the end of this week, and I'm okay with it. I think that people rush to get all the cheapies now. There will be cheapies throughout the entire year. You don't have to make all your money right now. I will sit on that 600K that I've made good money off selling Hines and buying Val. So I've got a little bit, I can be a little bit more flexible with my money, and I'm going to sit and wait. You might find that this weekend, you know, if Finu comes out and scores a try for the Tigers, he's the obvious guy to go to. I'm happy to sit a week, lose a little bit of cash that he's going to gain early, but get the right guy long term. I'm happy to sit on cash. If you're looking at guys and they aren't the knockout blow and you want to watch them an extra week, I am okay with doing that. You might lose that first pay rise, but I'm okay to sit on my hands that first week and then jump on and make good money to be safe and to be sure, because all it takes is guys to crash over and score 100 and all of a sudden they're the better options a week later because they're going to have that in their rolling average. So keep that in mind. I've got 600K in my bank. I'm not going to boost to get front row forwards or to get other guys. I'm going to sit on it for a week and make sure I make the right decision the week after. And I don't have any issue with that. You're going to sacrifice a little bit short term, but I think you gain a lot more long term and it's a little bit safer, which is my play. Guys, those are the Supercoach questions from you guys in the Roo Crew. If you would like to join the Roo Crew, the link is in the description. You get first dibs on merchandise. You get exclusive content. You also get a heap of content just earlier than everyone else for you to consume. So make sure you go and join the Roo Crew.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.